Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Whether you're sitting in your truck, listening to your dose of the Positive Mind, or laying at home not feeling well, dealing with the changes of seasons, or whether you're out at your job or taking a lunch break, it's time for the Positive Mind. Positive Mind, a radio station, a program that's been with you for many, many years. Some people have been listening to it their whole lives. Something about the program is meant to bring you ideas, concepts, guests, ways of seeing things to help you lead a more positively minded life. And the basis of our programming is the human mind. Psychology kind of shortchanges it by saying psychology. We can't say archaeology. We can't say anthropology. We can't say psychiatry or medicine or social work because it's a combination of all those studies. Maybe it's just human relations. Whatever the field is, it's about being human. It's about being understanding. It's about loving. Not loving in a big loving shmoving kind of way where you're going to sing kumbaya. Not that kind of loving, but the kind of loving where you can understand other people and have them understand you. We sit here and we are lucky enough to have every now and then friends, guests, people who could join us on the air who are amazing. Everyone from the Dalai Lama to Sonny Rollins. Vast array of people who know people, who understand people. A lot of the programs, the interviews can be heard on the archives of our program, which are maintained by this marvelous man, Tom Gerby, who works at trying to keep everything alive forever on the website so that people can listen to programs going back many, many years. You can spend hundreds of hours listening to pieces of information. So it's like a psychology program on the air. And today, I'm really gifted. Today, I have two people in the audience with me who professionally I am very proud of. I'm proud of who they are. I'm proud of the way they are. First is my co-host, Lisa Arnone. Lisa's a social worker and someone who challenges herself. She challenges herself. She gets to know herself. And in her practice, she more reflects the work that I do by being that way with people when they come to visit. So frequently people come to see me, or hearing her on the air, they actually will ask to speak with her because she's got such a fine touch, an understanding touch. But a real interesting question is, what do the professionals who listen get by listening to the Positive Mind? One would think, since I tend to try to reduce the most complex terminology into everyday language so the everyday person could understand it, I can imagine that the professionals would listen to that and say, yeah, but on a professional level, he doesn't know what it's about. Or they would say, yes, that's good, but I don't need it simplified because I'm a technical person. But every time I meet somebody who is part of our gang, part of the people who listen to the Positive Mind, I learn from them what they've learned, not only from me, but from the audience as well. Because we get phone and calls from the audience, and the audience tells us so much about themselves. It's real live stuff. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind here on WBAI. We'll be on with you for 2 hours today. And this will be the last time of our participation during the fun drive. We're here from 1 to 3. And then we'll be off. I'm taking a little time off next week, and we'll be back the week after that. But now let's stick with this idea of the professionals and the professionals listening to the Positive Mind and how that impacts on you. physicians, one very good friend. He's a gynecologist, and he's a devout listener, and he says how it affects the work that he does. And other people, artists, wonderful artists, who talk about how this in some way will impact on the way they work. So now we're not talking about the wonderful program, Armand DeMille. We're talking about the wonderful program, The Positive Mind, which includes all of you and the guests and what we do together. So I asked the question a little while ago, since I had two people with me. Lisa was here, and Aaron is here as well. Dr. Aaron Oberlander is a psychiatrist. She's a very well-respected psychiatrist. She's been around doing this stuff for a short while because as a young, beautiful, brilliant psychiatrist, she's fun. Anyway, Aaron, I asked Aaron a question, and I asked Lisa a question. So what would you, both of them came to us from having listened to this program for a number of years. So let me just start the interview, and I'm going to ask them, and then we're going to take it out to you, because today we're teaching you what we all know about personalities and some stuff about personalities that's going to help you with yourself, your children, and whoever you choose to love. It'll be helpful. So make sure you stay with us. But first, let me introduce Lisa Arnone. Lisa.
Hi, Armand.
How long have you been listening?
I listened about a decade. About 10 years.
Will you guys stop with decades?
About 10 years.
Do you think anybody knows how long a decade is? Some people do, and some people say, hey, what's a decade?
So I say about 10 years.
10 years, right. 10 years. So listening 10 years, how'd you get introduced to it?
A friend of mine came to see you and listened to the show.
Okay. Your dad doesn't listen?
He listens now.
He listens now because you're on.
Yes.
Great man. What did you hear that impacted on your work?
What I heard was I had a sense of the way I thought about things and the way I approach my patients. And when I listened to you and the way you talk to people, it felt like it was very similar. And it confirmed my sense of like, oh, I'm not alone doing this. In this particular way, there are other people who think like me. There's Armand who's doing what I think is also the right thing to do. So it made me feel validated. It made me feel like I wasn't working alone. It's kind of like a community, being part of a community.
But there was also a part that you saw as a shortcoming of yourself. Because otherwise you wouldn't have come to me and say, hey, show me.
Mm-hmm.
What was that part?
Well, I think, I'm trying to think about this.
I can tell you.
Go ahead.
It was the judgmentalism. It was this innate thing that all professionals have, which is an us or them thing that we have, which prevents us from really seeing the other person as being just another being who's walking around the planet, who's no different than us. And without saying so, when we would talk about people and their disorders, we would refer to them as them, you know, they or he, or, and you blame them. And if they walk out of treatment, you blame them for walking out of treatment. It's a natural tendency on the part of all professionals.
I think we're trained that way.
Yeah.
But
I think you're also born that way.
And listening to you does confirm that it's better to not work that way, to work as a human being in a room with another human being.
Well, let me ask you something, Lisa.
Yeah.
You have been with me now for 8 months?
Mm-hmm.
8 months?
Yes.
Is it eight?
Since March.
Count it.
March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. 8 months. Very good.
Hey, Lisa, you've been with me 8 months.
Yes.
In this 8 months, you've seen times where I've been critical of you.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't take it seriously. If you were a client of mine, you'd still be okay with me, even though I would say to you, oh, no, you're doing it wrong.
I do like to be challenged. If I feel like if I don't feel it's appropriate, then I'll say something. But I like to be challenged. I like to think about the things I'm doing and why I'm doing them.
You left me out of it.
Well, you're the one that's challenging me.
Right.
Yes.
So you like when I challenge you?
I find it thought-provoking.
Okay.
Sometimes frustrating, but also thought-provoking.
And the reason you like when I challenge you is because you basically have that same ingredient that you hear on the air that we use when we talk to the audience.
Yes.
I could be critical of you and say, no, don't put those people down. Don't objectify those people. But you know I'm loving you when I'm saying it.
Yes, I don't feel criticized. I feel like you're illuminating something.
Yeah.
Although I do feel like I want to say I don't put people down.
Yeah. Everybody wants to. Sure. You do. You don't anymore. You used to.
I feel like that's a strength of mine.
Yeah. To do it, to put people down.
No, not to put people down.
It is our Mind with Lisa Arnone. We also laugh a lot. Here at the Positive Mind. Now, Aaron, let me ask you a question, Dr. O. Also known as Dr. O. It is a woman here today, isn't it? Huh. You've been listening to this program a while, too, right?
Yes, I have, Armand.
How long?
About a decade, 10 years.
So you and Lisa
were
the 100th monkey syndrome. You know what that is? The 100th monkey, you know, all the monkeys in Africa were washing their potatoes and one washed and then everybody else started washing it. So maybe there's a whole bunch of people who a decade ago all started listening to those of you who know what a decade is.
And I was thinking about a barrel of monkeys.
A barrel of monkeys. So what happened? What happened to you? 10 years ago, you suddenly turned it on and you heard this program and here you are, a shrink. You're already doing your practice. Right? You're new. You're working with patients. You don't need help. You went through medical school. You went through psychology school. You went through all the school and supervision and all the books and the DSM. Why would you care what some rank amateur who doesn't even have a medical degree is saying on the radio?
Oh, Armand, I would hardly call you that. You're uncannily wise. Books don't do enough. We need life experience.
Who's a we?
Mental health professionals, myself. We need to learn from the school of human experience and from others, not only from books. And your show, Armand, has such a compassionate point of view.
And if you don't mind, may I, Aaron, change that to our show?
Thank
because
you.
I always feel a little embarrassed when somebody says my show, because I don't feel like the Positive Mind is mine. I feel that WBAI number one is the host. Number two allows me on the air. I'm hired help. I'm like a plumber. And then number three gives me access to the airwaves and the audience together with my visiting professionals. And I put this all together. So the Positive Mind is our program.
Yes, it's our.
It's the way it feels.
Our enterprise, and that's what I like about our show, is that it's so benevolent and all-encompassing. Everyone is accepted. All issues are considered as grist for the mill.
So what did you get that taught you something, not just validated? Lisa gets on and she says, well, I was already great, and this just told me how great I was.
That's me.
What do you get? You should hear when I listen to the show. You know, would you imagine what my experience is when I listen to it? And I listen to it a lot.
What is it?
I'll tell you about that later.
Well, beyond diagnosing, medicating, thinking about symptoms, our show gets us right into the arena of human experience. We hold each other. We challenge each other. We improve each other. When you've mentioned in previous shows about how one handles anger or rage, it's not to objectify and distance. It's to join and melt with tenderness.
Which is different than what they taught you in school.
Absolutely.
What's the difference they teach you in psychiatry school? Do you run into rage in and you know, some kind of out-of-control stuff, what do? You organize it, right? It says put it together, sit on it, throw some straps around it, shoot it full of drugs. Whatever you do, get them from stop making too much noise because it's disturbing the people in the hallway.
Yeah, it's descriptive and then over-intellectualized. There's objectification, medication.
You know, those two words are very interesting together. Hmm. Objectification, medication. Isn't that right? Wow, that's really right. That's great. Good. Thank you. Thank you. So that's what they teach you. Then you listen to The Positive Mind, and you're listening to the show, and you're listening to the program, and you're saying to yourself, you know, as a professional, there are things I learn here. And I listen to the way he handles that person who's angry at him on the phone. Is that what you do?
Yes. Look how he melts that person with tenderness, how he challenges so that it's a learning experience.
And that gave you additional tools to use in the evolution of your practice.
Absolutely. Imparted great humanity.
And today I'm calling on you, Aaron, for information about stuff that you know about, because you're very good at working with things. But I noticed that Jonna just walked in here. Jonna, here's a question for you. How long are you listening to the program?
About 15, 17 years.
About 17 years. 17 years, could you say what it is about The Positive Mind specifically that keeps you listening, or kept you listening for 17 years? Why 17 years ago when you were just a young, beautiful waif?
Well, I think it's you know, you always talk about things that everybody can relate to. You know, you don't really need to be depressed. You don't need to be traumatized, although if you are, then you'll still benefit. But I feel like you reach people on a level that is, you know, everybody can relate to and feel like, oh, okay, you know, nothing's wrong with me. I understand it. When you understand it, when you understand things, and when you, because everybody's always questioning, you know, themselves, their history, their families. And when you understand things, it makes you feel like, oh, okay, you know, someone understands me out there, and it helps me to heal.
Being understood, big deal. Feeling like you're not just the broken toy in the chest, you know, that there's something really broken about you and wrong with you. We're all born in a funny kind of way. We're all kind of born, and we're kind of thrown into this world with equipment to help us survive. Either you're going to be a very frightened little rabbit who's trying to make like she looks good and how she appears to the world, or you're going to be somebody who's giving to everybody, or you're going to be too shallow or too aggressive. Whatever it is, you got a little, what makes character is that you have a little more of one thing than another. And then under stress, this little thing of yours gets exaggerated. And the more stress you continue with, the more stress you have, the more it gets exaggerated. And when it gets exaggerated, it gets objectified, noticed by people, and you notice it yourself. And you have only two choices, blame them or blame yourself. And so the people who blame themselves, they get depressed. And the people who blame the other guys, they get angry. So two categories, you know, blame them, blame me. And either one doesn't work. When you get an understanding, then you say, ooh, blame nobody. It just is. And things begin to change. With that, we are going to go today and examine personalities and personality types along a continuum. We're going to do it with Lisa Arnone, with Jonna Valerio, and with Dr. Aaron Oberlander in just a couple of minutes. And we're going to do that, so be sure to stand by, because you're going to learn some great stuff today. Before we do, we want to make a call to you, because this is the last time we'll be offering that for quite a while. This is this year. Here's the end offer for 2012, 19. Remember 19? Remember when we used to say 19? There are people born now who are reaching pubescence who never heard of a 19. They were born in 20. All right, so let's go back to this. Well, except for our psychiatrist here was in the 20s. Let's see now. We want to go back to WBAI and what WBAI is. And WBAI is this incredible radio station. If you've ever heard of such a radio station, you could listen to this. Put this on. If you're laying at home sick in bed and you got a cold and you just came back from some travels and you feel weary and you wish you had your honey around to massage your shoulders or scratch your back, you don't know what to do, and here you are listening to this program today. Thank God you got this program around. You listened to the presidential mass debate yesterday, and you say to yourself, where's Amy Goodman? Where is she when you need her? You know, where is she? And you try to turn on some really wonderful music, or you listen to the beautiful songs of Michael G. Haskin and some of the others here on BAI. We got to thank the station, and I always do. I always thank the station, and the way you can do it right now is by making a donation to the station. So, yes, for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to ask you to go to your station and make a donation, 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Oh, there's somebody doing it right now, because we're making a special offer to you today. 212-209-2950. John, it's all yours.
212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. That's the number we're asking you to call to support the Positive Mind and WBAI. For a $200 contribution, you can get a consultation with Armando Mill. That will be our gift to you if you make that donation to WBAI today. You can pay it off in installments if you like, or you could pay it all off at once, but that's a $200 donation to WBAI for a consultation with Armand DeMille. Armand is a compassionate voice. He has a deep understanding of the human condition, and, you know, good old-fashioned talk therapy really, really does work. I feel like in our ever-increasingly competitive world where everyone wants a quick fix, you know, that can work too, but, you know, psychotherapy really does work, and perhaps you are seeing somebody right now and you would like a second opinion. Well, this is a perfect opportunity to do that and support WBAI Community Radio. This is completely listener-supported radio, so go to your phones right now. It takes about 3 or 4 minutes of your day. Anything you can give, we're very grateful. Or if you would like something else, we're also offering a gift of 4 CDs called Love and Troubled Relationships. And that's for a contribution of $125. There are 4 CDs on relationships where Armand addresses issues such as criticism, contempt, stonewalling, and dealing with hysteria. These are all difficulties that come up in every relationship. It doesn't even have to be, you know, it could be with a friend or a child or a coworker. But these are all very, very helpful tools on dealing with these things that kind of interrupt relationships, you know, at times in our lives. So that's for a $125 donation. That would be our gift to you. Please support community radio, listener-supported radio. If you value the positive mind, this is the way that you show the station that this is what you want to hear in the middle of the day. This compassionate, you know, voice that kind of slows you down in the middle of the day. Recently, I met somebody who's a truck driver, and he says in the middle of the day, he stops what he's doing, and he listens to the show because he's trying to work on himself. And, you know, we hear about this kind of thing all the time. And he called up and he made an appointment to see Armand, and he came in, and we're just so grateful for people like that, and just so, you know, grateful that we can help people like that, that Armand can help people like that. So please go to your phones, make your calls. You can pay in installments. If you'd like, you can make a $25 donation to the station. That's a basic membership to WBAI. You can get a gift. You can get, you know, there are people standing by to answer the phones. You know, they can offer you a gift such as a mug, a hat, a T-shirt. And if you have time to go down to WBA at 120 Wall Street, go down there and help answer phones. They're always looking for new people, and it's nice to go down there. You meet people, you have a free lunch. But right now, we need you to go to your phones, 212-209-2950. Please support the Positive Mind and Armand DeMille. He's always here for you in the middle of the day. He has a fantastic archive, www.thepositivemind.com. It's thepositivemind.com, and we have an amazing using archive 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950 for a $200 donation. You could come up and meet with Armand. You can come alone, or you could come with a friend, or you can give it to a friend. The holidays are coming up. Maybe you know somebody who could benefit from meeting with Armand. Again, you don't have to pay it all at once, and you can call up right away and make an appointment. Call our office here at the center. But right now, we need you to go to your phones and dial 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. That's the number to call to get a consultation with Armand DeMille. I know a lot of you have been waiting for this. I spoke to a very sweet young man this morning, and he said he's been waiting to call. So I know you know who you are. I hope you're making that phone call, 212-209-2950. Go to your phones right now. Take 4 minutes or 3 minutes out of your day, even if you can give $10. But if you are listening, we need to hear from you. This is how we keep this radio station going. We do it by you know, our listeners. We are completely listener supported. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950.
Okay, so please do call right now and make your and give your support to WBAI and to the Positive Mind. Please make your donation. We need the support for the station. We need the support for the show to keep to continue. Armand is offering several things as gifts in response to donations. So if you donate $125, you will receive a 4-CD set that's on love and troubled relationships. It focuses on issues such as criticism in relationships, contempt that develops between people, stonewalling and defensiveness when those things come up and stop communication, and dealing with hysteria. 212-209-2950. Call in, make your donation. You can make a donation for $125 and receive the gift of the CDs. You can make your donation for less than that. You can become a WBAI buddy and donate on a monthly basis, where it gets debited from an account, and it's $10 a month or $5 a month or $15 a month, and it winds up being a very nice contribution and sustaining income for the station. Armand is also offering, for a donation of $200, a consultation, which is a very interesting thing to be able to do after you've listened to him for years and years on the radio, to actually be able to sit in front of him, talk about yourself, and hear what he has to say to you individually. I know from listening to the radio that it feels like Armand's talking to you, to me. It felt like Armand was talking to me all the time. But talking to him directly is something different altogether. So please do call in, 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
Yeah,
I've heard an echo. Okay, thanks.
It was yourself talking back to you.
Oh, thanks.
But you made your donation.
Oh, yes, I did.
I saw you do that, right? And I wish as many people who are professionals who listen to this program are going to check the list, how many of them who are affiliated with us should be members. Every member of every person that works here should be a member of BAI at least. And also, we should have people who work at the station should all be signed up in one form or another, perhaps even as a buddy. You want to explain what a buddy is?
Yeah, I find that the buddy program is very helpful because it feels like an affordable amount of money a month. I donate $10 a month. It's part of my monthly bills, and as my monthly bills go, it feels like a small one. And every once in a while, I add it up in my head, and I think, oh, that's such a nice donation to make to the radio station. It doesn't feel like a burden. It feels very easy to do. And then I feel good about supporting something that's important. I do not like listening to radio with commercials on it. I can't tolerate it. So I only listen to commercial-free radio, and this is what WBAI is. You pay for it, and you get to listen to shows that offer good and interesting information, wonderful music, and you don't have to endure one commercial.
There are calls. Thank you so much for calling in. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Special thanks to Teresa Palmer and Marty Resnick being down there today answering the phones. They can tell you, they can answer any of your questions. If you have questions about what is this thing, a consultation, it sounds like such a funny word. It means come and hang out with me for a short period of time. We'll do a little stuff. You'll send me some emails in advance. And if you have some questions, ask me. I have no need for you to come back after that. We know it's perfectly fine. I remember one woman walked in here and said, I'm not coming back, as if I had any intention for her to come back. So she didn't want to give me information about herself, but did have questions. That's all right. That's fine. But if you want to get the full blast, send me an email in advance. Let me read it. 212-209-2950, right? We're going to be going right back to our calls. 212-209-2950. Give us one more shot, and then we're coming in, and we are going to be playing you some. And then we're going to be playing you some good stuff. 212-209-2950. Couple of calls right now. Get down to where Marty and Teresa are. In fact, those of you down in the tally room, I hear you like to dance. So I guess for all of you who are standing by or laying at home not feeling too well, here's a little music for your hips. 212-209-2950. Out Chill Players from their song 4 a.m. You just picture 4 a.m. I remember 4 a.m. time when a lot of people consider going to sleep. Hey, we better go to sleep before it gets too dark, before it gets too light out. You remember 4 o'clock in the morning? It's a good time, 4 o'clock in the morning. It's a delightful time. I hope you have things in your life interesting enough to keep you awake till 4 a.m. in a happy way. But there are certain people who can't stop. They must stay up till 4 a.m. And we're now going to talk about this continuum of psychology. I want to talk about things called the narcissist, the borderline personality, and the psychopath. These three, as if they're on a continuum. Imagine the following. Imagine that there's a continuum, and at any given point, you could be anywhere along this continuum. And in the way you will be, you know, at the very left end of it, let's see how we can get you to picture this. Imagine pictures on a chessboard or pieces on a checkerboard. And so you have checkers, and now that's not good enough. We have to have 10 things. We have to have 6 things lined up. Imagine 6 salt shakers lined up. And on the left-hand side of the salt shakers, you have what's called narcissism. Narcissism is okay. It could be benevolent narcissism. Narcissism has a certain meaning. Or it could be the not-so-good kind of narcissism. The good kind and the not-so-good kind. And then after that, you can be histrionic. And histrionic could be like you really feel out of control. And then after that has this borderline condition, which we're going to talk about. And then after that, if you get past the borderline, you could sometimes get really disturbed and you could become paranoid. And then after you become paranoid, you could become psychopathic. So let's imagine the way that that works. At first, you're somebody who wants to be loved. You put an image of yourself, call it your narcissistic image. You say to yourself, okay, I'm going to be this way. And if I'm this way, people are going to love me. If I'm creative, people will love me. If I'm nice, people will love me. If I'm strong, people will love me. In fact, here's an experiment for all of you. I want you to think of the three things that you hope someone would say about you if they were listing your three finest attributes. So imagine if we had some kind of match.com or something like that, and it was a truthful one, and you were putting down your three best attributes, but you weren't allowed to write for yourself, so your friend is going to write for you. What are the three words you hope they write for you? You got three? Can you picture three? Take three. I'm not going to ask you to say these on the air if you're doing it in the studio. Take the three things that you want to be said about you. You got three? Johnny, you got three? Okay, Aaron, you got three? Okay, now imagine this. Now let's say we had a sadomasochistic dating service in which you list your three worst qualities, the things that you feel the most ashamed about. Now, don't let me know about these, but things you feel the most ashamed about, the most, like please don't ever find this out about me, or I don't want you to know it, or you'd never want to meet me. Like, for example, I pass gas, and it's ferocious, right? Or just three things where I could get really mean, or I get violent, or three things about you that are just horrendous, that you want to hide. Like, I'm getting older. Things. Now you got your three worst things, and you got your three best things. Were you able to find three terrible things? Please don't know this about me. Please don't find this out about me, or if you do, please make sure you're loving me first before you find out. These all relate to your narcissistic image. You see, in a way, the first three are the cover-up for the second three. Does that make sense? I want you to think of me, if you put me on my first three, I'm loving, I'm compassionate, I'm intelligent. What I don't want you to see is that I'm stupid, I'm selfish, I'm mean. They relate. So we build an image around this self. And this is the image we build because we had to figure out how to get loved, because there wasn't anybody there who really taught us what love was. This I call the narcissistic self. The narcissistic self does not have to be very desperate. In some people, it's just about pride. It's just about looking good. It's just about an image. In other people, it could be very commanding, demanding, and very disturbing. So it could be one or the other. But as you get more and more agitated, as this narcissistic self threatens to be exposed, when the real bottom three figures threaten to come out, when the top three aren't working so well and the bottom three threaten to come out, that narcissistic person gets very nervous. Now, they could go into a thing called narcissistic rage, which we'll talk about, or they could have a narcissistic wound, which we'll talk about, or they could become histrionic. Now, here's where my continuum comes up. Now they have this loss of control. Now they're lost. Now they're very nervous. So what we're looking at somebody who is a very, very nervous type and out of control is we're saying, you know, where's the narcissism in here? And I, as a shrink, ask that question. What's happened to the narcissism? Did it get wounded? Did it not get wounded? Did something happen? And then if that doesn't work, if the histrionics don't work to help a person reorganize themselves, because, you know, in effect, when you're in a histrionic condition, you're kind of burning off all this energy. You're burning off all the nerves at the synapse. You're hoping to find some kind of homeostasis. You're looking to feel calm again, but you can't help it. You're so agitated, you can't stop. And you're burning it and burning it and burning it, and you're nervous and you're nervous and you're nervous. And finally, hopefully, it wears itself out. But if it doesn't wear itself out, you go to the next condition, which is the borderline condition. Now you segment it. Now, in my mind, you break it into two categories. You say, I'm either going to be loving or I'm going to be hating. Now you're in the borderline condition, which is all love or all hate. And when you love with everything you got. And when you hate with a vengeance. You blame everybody for everything. And when you love with everything. But you see, once you're in that state, since it is a flight from this original condition of the narcissism gone bad, you can't seem to step out of it. You can't seem to get out of it. So you're caught in this trap of all good and all bad. And the all good has no boundaries. You know, this is the best sexual partner you could ever possibly have, is a borderline who is on a positive, because they're going to give you everything you want. They're going to want to do anything to please you, everything. And then comes the other side of it. Boundaries become a very important thing. A borderline person, a person who is caught in this borderline condition, has no boundaries. Of course they don't have boundaries. They feel like they're wild horses. You know what I mean? It's a wild horse in a barn. Let me out of here. It's kicking. It's screaming. Show me a fence. I'll jump over it. And you usually see when you meet a borderline person, they do things like they put their shoes on your desk. You know what I mean? They come in, they you know, they'll use your bathrooms. They'll go through your cabinets. They have no boundaries. And then from that, when that doesn't work enough and you hang out long enough and the positive doesn't work and you get fixed in the negative part of the borderline condition where you're just a nasty person, you start getting worried about who's getting mad at you. And you become paranoid. So paranoid's the next condition. So a paranoid person doesn't necessarily have to be paranoid all the time, but they could be on the spectrum of paranoia for that period of time. Now they're paranoid. So, like, did you ever notice if you smoke a joint, you get paranoid? Did you ever hear that? Or you have a couple of drinks, you get paranoid? Hey, that's temporary paranoia. It doesn't mean you're paranoid the rest of the time. But you'll see somebody, I smoked a joint and I got really paranoid. What a funny feeling that is. What's going to happen? A sense of dread. What's going to happen to me? It could be a temporary condition. It does not mean it shows an underlying paranoia. And so now you're naturally trying to protect yourself against the dangers of the world. Naturally. And so you hide out. So you look at everybody. You blame everybody. You say, I'm paranoid. And you don't even see you're paranoid. You believe it to be true. So you believe it to be so true, and then what are the things you do? You begin so much in hearing it that eventually what happens is you just say, I don't care. I don't care. Since people I can't understand about people, and since people are being so mean to me, I don't care. Whatever I do is okay, and you become psychopathic. Psychopathic without shame, without any sense of remorse. Whatever I do is justified because people are no longer really people. They're just to be moved along to serve my need. And at the far end of the spectrum, you become psychopathic. Now take a person who's got a borderline condition, someone to nervous, all good, all bad, right? And they commit a crime during one of those moments where they can't contain their anxiety. Then they're hiding from the crime. So what does that help you do? Because you become more paranoid, right? Then they take you and throw you in prison. What do you think happens in prison? You fix the psychopathy. Because that's the only thing that'll help you survive. Don't care. I don't care. I'm going to be here. Whatever I could do to achieve my end, whatever I could do to get by, that's what I'm going to do. And psychopathy, why it's so hard to take that and move that backwards and say, have you gotten over it? No, you know, how much worse did we make you while you're in here is a real question. That's why I think real groups and real group therapy outside of a prison might be a good way to start with people who are in the prison before they get released, not just with other prisoners. But it's another idea. So anyway, this is the spectrum. And if you haven't followed it, you know, I'll review it more for you, because we're going to go back and we're going to go over it again. And I'm going to ask Dr. O to give us some of her experiences that she's had with people, because she understands the personality types and actually likes the work with the different people. But before we do, just one more moment. We need you to go to your phones. We bring you this rich programming, this valuable thing. If you took what I just told you over the last 20 minutes and took it as a snippet recording and presented it at any university, I am sure they would say, what an interesting way to look at it. He's wrong. No. What an interesting way to look at it. It is an interesting way to look at it, because as a professional, it gives you a handle on it. It helps you see it. It helps you not judge people and not fix people. Erin, what do you think?
Well, Armand, the DSM categorizes, but I do agree that there is a spectrum. The templates shift different parts of those personality disorders, well, I don't like to call them disorders or states, come through when people are in various points of stress. And you can identify, well, this is the borderline state that's coming out, or the narcissistic injury that's surfacing, the narcissistic manifestation.
Okay, now you as a psychiatrist sit in a chair, and a person comes into your room, just because I like to paint pictures of people. You're sitting in behind your desk. They come in and they say, hey, a woman psychiatrist. Okay, what do we do about this? And they come to tell you their problems. What are you observing? What do you see? When you're looking to make your evaluation, which is not that you're looking to make an evaluation so you can just medicate them. You're looking to see, how can I help this person? What do you look for? If a person who's got a borderline personality disorder walks in, what is likely will happen in your office?
Well, Armand, I try to feel the tone, the emotional tone of the person. That's first. A borderline personality state might come in and they seem emotionally intensified, almost on fire. They could be very idealizing and eager to tell me their story and to be the perfect patient, or they can be wrapped up in anger, agitated and volatile. So they're going to present with a certain rawness of emotion that's apparent right up front.
How is that different than somebody who's just excited? Because there is a difference. The emotional intensity you're talking about, you described as neon. You said it's not usual excitement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too excited.
And also, it's enrapturing in that it enwraps the other person, or me as the psychiatrist. I become, attempt to pull me into the drama of that emotional state. So it is beyond personal
so
excitement.
So the person has a skill. The skill that they normally use in the world is they involve other people. Interesting thing about people with borderline personality is that you can always see, if you're involved with them in any way, there's always a dozen other people get involved. strangely enough, and their mother is calling you. Now their cousin's calling you. Now somebody else is calling you, and then another person. And usually, if you're dealing with that, you say, wait a minute, how could they be calling me on my private line at home? How did that happen? And it's the borderline thing.
And there's a lot of dissent and discord among the multiple voices.
Right. And so many reaches out, and this is a lack of boundaries. And it's one of the things you can see. Now, if you're somebody who's a professional who sees this, you don't get angry. Yeah, this is the way. And when the web comes in your direction and they cast the web over you and tell you you're the most beautiful, angelic, fantastic, you're going to save my life, you see the web and you say, I understand. But if you're the average shrink who doesn't have that kind of mentality, who's desperately needing their own ego flattered, when a borderline personality walks in and casts their web, you go right into it. And then you get right into it, and then you get sucked into seeing the client, and the client thinks that you in some way endangered them or betrayed them, and then the client gets angry at you, and then you start defending yourself. This is all because your needs got in the way.
Well, that's where a good psychiatrist tries to work with the transference, tries to work within that dynamic.
Most people don't know what transference means. What do you mean by transference?
It's the relationship, the projections that are put upon the psychiatrist, the way the person sees the doctor and the drama they involve them in, which will involve all aspects of love and hate. And the psychiatrist and the person almost have to dance together.
Now, you know, the word transference is chosen for a reason, because it means transfers to the psychiatrist the hopes, the prayers that they would have gotten from a primal family member.
Absolutely.
You didn't say that.
Okay.
And if it's absolute, you have to say it.
You did it better than me, Armand.
So what they're projecting onto you was what a perfect daddy or perfect mommy would be.
Yes.
And then when you violate that perfect daddy mommy, then they get mad at you. If you're a trained shrink, social worker, psychologist, life coach, nurse, you learn about this and you see it, and you say, they're putting on me stuff that doesn't belong to me, and I don't have to respond to it. Elizabeth, right now, who's listening, is dealing with this with a neighbor who admires her, but to a point where things are being projected that she thinks are just too much. And so what do you do when somebody keeps projecting onto you and they're not your patient? What do you do if you're a friend and you have somebody who's come? You've had this happen to you, hasn't it? Now, what do you do when somebody's coming after you and they just keep coming after you and you can't keep them away? It could be a man, it could be a woman. What's the only way to deal with the borderline who keeps casting their feelings over you?
You could try to reflect it back in the office situation. Or are you
That's
talking
in
about
a professional. What if what if it's in personal life? Personal life, the only answer is freeze them out. The only answer is you can't feed it, because anything you do feeds it. If you try to explain, if you try to be reasonable, no matter what you try to do. I mean, that's why they have court orders. You know, it gets to a point where you got to take out a court order so that the person will eventually calm down. Because it's difficult. In their side, it's desperate. They have no idea. Oh, boy, you know, if we had phone-ins right now, which we don't have, but you can send me emails, armand@thepositivemind.com. Maybe I'll get to them before the end of the show. There would be people calling in right now who have had borderline incursions. There have been times when you get chased by somebody who just won't give up.
Well, and if you do and do back away, you'd be rest assured that the borderline is quite resourceful and will build another network very quickly.
They'll find a way to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only to you, but to others.
And to others as well. You're right. 212-209-2950 is our number here. What are we doing here? We're offering you some of this stuff that is so helpful to you, because all of you listening right now, somebody just heard this and said, that's what my daughter is going through, or that's what my son is going through. And you just thought about it. You said, That's what my son is going through. You know what we should do? My son is in pain about the woman that he loves, who is so good and so wonderful and so fantastic. And then she just gets all over his case, and she's yelling at him, and she's mean at him, and she's insulted by him and telling him what's wrong with him. And you'd think to yourself, what could I do for my son? I could advise him, but I can't advise him, because if I advise him, he'll think it's just me being a possessive mother. So what'll I do instead? I'll buy him a book. And you know what you could do? You could say, hey, Pop. Hey, son. You know the problem you're going through? I can't help you with that. You need somebody who's removed from it. And here, I'm giving you a gift certificate. With this gift certificate, you can go visit with this guy, Armand DeMille. In fact, you could replay his program today and listen on the archive. And I'm going to buy you as a gift certificate for Thanksgiving Day, right, by calling 212-209-2950. I'm going to buy you this gift certificate, and then with the turkey or whatever you have, the tofu, if that's what you're going to have for Thanksgiving or at Halloween or for Christmas or any of the other holidays coming up, here's a gift to you so you could find some peace of mind, because I guarantee you, you will be able to have somebody at least who can help you explain it and understand it, and not just me. Also, Dr. Erin Oberlander, she's really terrific with this stuff. She understands it. So if you want that consultation with me by make the donation to WBAI, you do it. And if it's got to be with Dr. O, I'll twist her ankle and I'll say, please, please, please see somebody from WBAI. But just get the one consultation with me and then make that request. 212-209-2950. It's really a time, because I'll tell you, in my youth, I wish I had one of these coupons. I wish. There are so many times I ran into romance where I was ready to pull my hair out. I was ready to say, what is this? I don't understand. How many of you have ever felt this way? I just don't understand. And to have somebody there who understands, who says, yeah, this is the way it goes. Yeah, this is the way it is. 212-209-2950. It's almost 2 o'clock, my friends. We're going to be with you till 3 o'clock. We're going to go much more into describing these personality disorders, but we need you to go to the phones right now. 212-209-2950.
212-209-2950. That's the number we're asking you to call right now to support the Positive Mind. Please go to your phones and take advantage of this time when Armand is offering a consultation to come up to the center here and meet with him for a $200 contribution to WBAI. That is our gift to you. You can come up to the DeMille Center. Some of our listeners have heard Armand talk about the Enneagram in the past. That is also something that if you're interested in, you can come up, take the Enneagram test. It's a series of questions, and it's a lot of fun. It takes about 45 minutes, and Armand is an expert in evaluating the Enneagram. If you'd like to do that, you can do that before your appointment. But right now, we need you to go to the phones and support us here. We're so grateful for anything that you can give today, even $5 or $10. 212-209-2950. $25 gets you a basic membership. If you are listening, please do your part. We